Sean Hughes.
Off the radar.
Right, welcome to Off the Radar with Sean Hughes. My special guest, well, you know, everyone's special, but today I have a friend, Ash Jett, has come in to just prod me along, really. How are you, Ash?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
So, like, before we got a special guest today, he's we got a vegan coming in.
Oh, terrific. They're usually a lot of fun, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, we've gone through the internet and found a vegan with a sense of humour, because he's a stand-up comic as well.
Okay.
Who people will know, but that's Carl Donnelly. So he'll be in... Well, he's actually here now, but he's not talking. Well, I'm not going to lie to people.
Keep up the illusion, man.
There's too much lying going on in society.
There's no one sitting next to me at all.
Yeah, so he's here, but he won't be talking for a minute until I introduce him properly. So, but Ash, right, tell us about your name, because, you know, Ditter is a very unusual name.
The surname?
Yeah, Ash is fine.
Ditter is a Pakistani name.
Right.
Although I'm not Pakistani.
Well, this is what I'm getting at, really.
It's quite complicated. Well, it's not that complicated. It's got more complicated, it turns out. My dad, who's a Scot, doesn't really matter, but he's a sort of pasty white Scot in traditional Scottish terms.
Do you think there's any need to say the pasty white? That's a given with all Scottish people.
Yeah, apart from Asian ones.
Right, yeah.
Tend not to be. But his dad was, he didn't know who his dad was. I'm going straight in here to a whole family history about my dad's pain.
So is this a song now? Or my dad's stepdad's a Pakistani?
No, it was the 70s, no.
Right.
No, he was a Pakistani. So dad grew up. Well, weirdly, I only found out a couple of weeks ago, now my dad's 75, that he only found out this summer that... when he was 45, he found out that it wasn't his real dad.
Right.
Which is kind of odd.
It's late.
Well, also, when he's Asian and called Ditter, it's quite an odd thing.
Yeah.
I said to him, how did you not know that until you were 45? Because the drinking didn't really kick in until he was in his 50s.
Because that's a bit like the Steve Martin, like the jerk,
sort of
isn't
was,
it?
Yeah, he just thought he was half Indian, half Pakistani, which he isn't.
And so no, because the reason as well, because you are, like, would you say you're a pasty white kind of Arsenal fan then?
Yeah.
Right, because that's the thing. So, but when, there's two things, because Ash Jeter does sound like a terrorist name.
Yes.
And what the point I'm getting to, and I don't like doing this, but I kind of know where this is going. But every time you go to America, they pull you in, don't they?
New York, no, not in LA, but in New York. I don't know why that is. When I go to New York, the quickest I've got through customs in New York in the last 5 years is 2.5 hours.
So what they just
did? I get there and they say, the first time it happened, I was there for 3 hours. I get there, go to the passport, I give them the passport, and they say, do you want to come with me? So I go along.
You go, what? It's a tour of New York. Lovely.
I said, great, yeah. Open top bus. We get there into a little room. There's always two of them, and, you know, bad cop, good cop. Well, actually, pretty much both bad cops. And then they just start giving me. Last time, the opening question was, I think I said, you can let me go. I know what this is about, and it isn't me. And they said, well, that's fine, sir, but when was the last time you were in Afghanistan?
Yeah, but hang on a second, Ash. Do you think anyone's ever got out of any kind of thing by saying, look, you can let us go?
I think that's certainly where you need to start.
What?
Because I think you'd never forgive yourself if you didn't say that, and that would have been enough.
I think that's put the onus of kind of guilt on you by going, yeah, I've done some stuff, but not what you're thinking of.
Yeah, I've done some pretty bad stuff, to be honest. But, you know, they think I'm a... The trouble is, I have the same name as a man on the FBI wanted list.
Right.
And so what they talk to me a lot about is my brother. They say, when did you last see your brother? And I haven't got a brother. So I say, I haven't got a brother. And they say, when did you last see him? We know you saw him probably in Afghanistan. And I say, I haven't seen him because I don't have a brother. But the problem is they've got, and this is absolutely true, behind them is a massive poster that says...
Of you.
Yeah, for me. Me, but like with a beard drawn off. No, there's a big poster, a massive poster. And it says, do not attempt humour.
Right.
Which is obviously my favourite ever poster.
The BBC have got that poster on their wall as well.
Indeed. Oh, now. And, just under the Citizen Khan. Anyway. And,
your dad loves that programme.
I should have written that one. They said, so that you sit there with this thing staring at you saying, don't try and be funny. And of course, after 2 hours, when you're thinking, well, clearly, I'm not the man you think I am. And
I've said that to loads of women over the years.
they last time I went, actually, this is true. I actually just got my phone out and said, do you mind if I'm going to Google myself and you can see who I am and you can see me in a shit sketch dressed as a woman. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not necessarily a terrorist.
Well, we should point out that, like, because you were in the Catherine Tate show. Just picking it up for the...
No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's eventually... The second time I did it, was there, I actually managed to convince them by saying, look, this is who I am. What are the chances of that? But then I did come up with a line I thought was very funny, ignoring the poster behind their heads, when he said, having said to them what I did for a living, he then said... That's very well, sir, but when are you next going to Afghanistan? And I said, I don't know, but we haven't sorted out all the tour dates, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
And it just meant I stayed there for another hour.
But also, wasn't it when you applied for the visa, even in London, then, didn't they? They were aware of your name and they...
I went to the American Embassy in London and said, look, this happens to me every time I go to New York. And they looked me up and said, yeah, that's because you're on the FBI wanted list. And I said, well, if I was on the FBI wanted list, I wouldn't come straight to you and say... Weird, I can't get into your country. There's nothing they can do. That's the end of it.
Because weirdly, there's another comic, Owen O'Neill, who's from Northern Ireland, and he did the exact same thing, but back in, I hate to say the IRA's heyday, but when they were active, there was a guy, Owen O'Neill, as well. So I remember coming back from America with him, and the guy stopped the two of us, me for an autograph and a picture, and to detain him. So I was kind of going, oh, yeah, I mean, mate, I just hang out with IRA guys.
Yeah. Also, the idea that you wouldn't attempt to change your name if you were travelling as a massive international terrorist.
Well, yeah, no.
The best way under the radar is to go, yeah, no, it's just me.
See, under the radar, that's the whole thing's made. So I wish I could just finish the show now. But we have our vegan. Now, Carl Donnelly is... congratulations, Carl was nominated for the Foster's Comedy Award in Edinburgh this year. That's your second nomination?
Well, it's my first one for the main award. The last one I got was for Newcomer in 2009.
Right.
So I've lost both of them now.
Well, we'll give it a couple of years and then we'll start the Your Life's Over career. Yeah, and I'll make sure you get nominated for that.
Cool.
I nearly won that about 3 years ago. But no, because it's interesting because I've known you for quite a while and you became a vegan, what, about a year ago?
It was 7 months ago. March was when I gave up dairy in January and gave up meat in March.
And this is not for political reasons at all?
No, which weirdly, it's not, but it has. I was never an ethical... No, none of it was ethical. It was always just a feeling like, you know, I'm one of these people that trust, you know, I think your body tells you what you should and shouldn't eat. And I just didn't... I felt weird when I was eating meat. I felt odd.
And but I've been with you loads of times and you didn't even think for a second that you were always eating much meat as possible.
And this is the thing, I didn't go from, like, vegetarian, I didn't have any crossover... I went from full-on carnivore. I think it was laziness, though, because I always sort of, for the last year or so, I started feeling weird when I was eating meat. And then...
What do you mean weird, though?
It just didn't feel right. It felt like I was eating it and I was really enjoying the taste. But then within a minute of finishing it, I felt a bit like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Well, you weren't physically feeling it, you felt a bit guilty.
No, it was a physical feeling. It was a physical... it was a physical and mental thing. I don't know, I can't really... It's hard to describe because it makes me sound like I'm insane. But now, weirdly, since I've gone vegan... People keep sending me, like, check out this video, check out this stuff. And I've started watching all these documentaries and I'm becoming more and more an ethical vegan. So I've done it the wrong way around.
But also, weren't you just going to do it for a while? So now is it becoming a thing that
you... No, I did it just as... I did it to see how it made me feel. Within a week, I felt about 1,000 times healthier.
But how does that manifest itself? Because you look the exact same.
Well, I've always had stomach problems and that. I've always had, like, acid problems and, you know, a lot of gastro problems. And they disappeared within... They really cleared up quite a lot after giving up dairy and after meat within a week. I haven't had acid indigestion in 7 months.
But that's it, though? So just no indigestion?
Well, indigestion, acid, sort of just general stomach.
It's a big life change just for that.
Well, I reckon if I would have... I should have given up stuff like that years ago.
Or just bought a load of Rennies.
But that's attacking the symptoms, not the... Not the cause.
All right. I was kind of just joshing, really. I wasn't really just putting that down as a possible kind of
alternative. Now I'm a vegan, I'm actually getting aggressive about it. Do you remember when I used to eat meat? I was really chilled out.
Yeah, but so now you kind of... you think it's forever now?
Totally.
But so how far... Because, like, as a comic, you're on the road a lot. So how do you find that to come across good stuff, then?
It's more difficult. It means you have to carry stuff. I end up, yeah, I travel like a monkey. I travel around with like bags of raisins and nuts. Just not that I carry bags, but I mean, you know, I've always got little snacks on me. That...
Yeah, it's striking me as well that you haven't really seen monkeys in their natural habitat either. The big bags of food that they're going, right, lads, we're on the move again. Has everyone gone, will we get this through, Ryder?
But no, that's what I've got to do. I've got to carry like nuts and things. It's a bit weird.
But yeah, but that's kind of snacky stuff though.
Yeah.
But you, so, but like,
but
when
then, there are, it's so much easier now. I think if I'd have done this, even up to, I reckon up until about 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been more difficult. But in the last couple of years, it seems to be a real, it's almost become trendy now. Like this whole, in America, there's that whole raw food thing going on. Yeah. You've seen that?
Yeah.
And like,
well, when you say you've seen that, what do you mean?
Well, no, there's loads of,
did they all come over? There's, yeah,
but no, there's like been loads of documentaries and things recently coming out about raw foods. And like, it's quite, I think it's quite an on trend thing. So I think now, this, especially in this country, is cottoning on a lot. You can go around most major cities now and find a good 2 or 3 vegan, either vegetarian or vegan friendly, or full on like vegan cafes and stuff.
Yeah, I don't actually agree. I think you might get one. You still get one option on the menu.
Well, you don't know. I was in Sheffield last night, and I found a place called the Blue Moon Cafe that was pretty much all vegan, and that was one Google search. Bang, found that. It was right in the city centre.
So, but see, this is the thing, because I've been vegetarian most of my life, not vegan, but it's still, people like assume vegans are really po-faced. Have you come across any of that?
Yeah, I know some vegans that are a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Besides yourself,
yeah. it's weird. I think if you come at it from a real hardcore ethical reason, then you are going to be. It's, you know, if you actually sat down and thought, I'm never going to do anything with meat products, you would be. You'd be hard work. Because, like, I still wear leather.
Very much so.
Yeah, I really like leather. I love leather jackets. And, you know, but I think it's that thing of, I just don't want to put it in me. I'm happy to lay it on top.
Right,
that
now,
sounds horrific.
I've lost it because those last two things just sounded like gay sex.
Yeah, I know. That's,
and I was
I'm still part of the whole gay leather scene.
Yeah, maybe the leather thing, I just went, all right. And then I just went into my own thing. As you eat as much meat as you can.
Yeah, my body tells me that too. I just don't listen.
I think dairy is way worse than meat.
I think
you still eat. You have bad reactions to dairy. I once saw your face swell up after you ate cheese.
Yeah, well, I was also a bicycle pump. But no, I'm allergic to cheese, but I quite like it. But I've had this chat with you because I think it makes no sense to. I try not to drink milk anymore because it's like you. I think you were the one who pointed that to me, Carl. It's like, we're the only kind of species who takes breast milk off other species.
Well, we're the only animal that drinks milk after infancy, and we're definitely the only one that nicks it off other animals.
Yeah, when you look at it like that,
it's weird, and that was what started me on this thing. I was making a cup of tea and I was pouring milk in.
So what were you watching, Little Britain? Yeah,
I was having a cup of tea, and as I was pouring milk in, I had like an epiphany of seeing it coming out of
the
a cow's
only animal
tit.
Who also makes tea as well.
So that is true. And it eats cereal.
Yeah. I mean, I think, dairy's bad, probably. But the trouble is, I've got young kids, so my excuse is it's all up for grabs. When you've got young kids, you eat everything and you give them everything.
Well, so you've no problem giving them stuff?
No, not really.
So, well, this is a contrasting view.
Well, I don't know.
No, because kids do, obviously, babies and that.
Kids do, but we don't.
Well, it's not that you don't. You don't need it after your bones have stopped growing, do you? You don't need that much calcium anymore.
I'm still hoping to
get a bit taller.
Another half an inch, I'd imagine.
I do like drinking milk, which clearly I don't need to do.
I find that weird, and I've always found that weird. My mate, well, not matey, like, but do you know the comedian Stuart Francis?
You can call him a mate.
Well, he's a mate, but I haven't seen him in ages, so that's weird. I don't think you should call someone a mate if you don't see him regularly.
Well, you can call him a mate, you just don't call him a close friend.
Right, okay, that's a distant mate.
I don't think he's going to listen. Going, is there a number? I hope they give an address because I just want to ring in and say we're not mates. He never rings me. What's all that? I'm a mate of his.
Yeah, so he's a mate. All right, he's a mate.
Yeah.
I was in a pub with him, and he's in his 50s, and he ordered a glass of milk in a pub and then got upset because I laughed hysterically for 5 minutes at him. Because I'd never seen a grown-up order a glass of milk in public.
No, that is a weird thing to do in a pub.
In a pub? Yeah. We've had lunch.
Oh, it was daytime?
Yeah, we were in a pub. No, yeah, it wasn't happy hour. can I have two milks?
Kronenbourg and the
milk.
I can't drink Kronenberg. That's a non-vegan beer.
They use
fish guts to process it.
It seems to me like a lot of work. That's the thing about being a vegan. You have to really do your work, don't you?
Well, if somebody would have said to me, I used to love Kronenbourg Top, used to be my pint, that was my favourite drink. But if somebody would have said to me at any point, you know, there's fish guts in that, I would have given up on the spot. Because it's a pint of beer. That shouldn't have fish guts.
I know. You stopped going through bins for very similar reasons, didn't you, when you were young?
Extraordinary.
Yeah. They use it in loads
of. That's it. I'm not drinking Kronenbourg anymore.
But have a pint of San Miguel or a pint of Carlsberg. They're all good.
Tell us, Carl, not necessarily drink, but what was the one thing that you went, oh, my God, I can't believe that's not vegan, that you had to give up?
Killing pigs.
Well, that doesn't go against your principles.
Just kicking them to death. Oh, no, do you know, I've never killed a pig just for legal, not legal reasons, they can't sue me.
I had an uncle who had, like, weirdly...
He loved killing pigs.
No, but he had, what do you call them when you have, like...
Pig farms.
Piglets.
A sty.
Well, it's neither, but thanks for helping. But it was a kind of a building with pigs in them.
And, definitely a pig sty.
But and like I remember, like we used to go down and visit him in the summer, and then one day they're all says, "What's happening?" Says, "Yeah, all the pigs are going to market," and like basically, you know, off to the slaughter. Oh. And you thought
they'd all come back with shopping bags.
Yeah, I was going, get us something.
Did you do it on your toes?
Yeah. Yeah, it was all of a lovely story until I went, are they not coming back? But weirdly, like I should have said they're not coming back because he came back, and I'm not joking you with. Some bacon from them.
What?
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah. Right, yeah.
And that kind of threw me.
I told
forever.
You about a documentary that somebody told me to watch. Did I tell you about it? Earthlings?
Yeah.
See, this is honestly, I'm not like an ethical. I'd never tell anyone not to eat anything.
Don't worry, this won't make the edit. Either, yeah. So don't worry.
But there's a documentary called Earthlings that somebody sent me, and it's hidden camera footage from abattoirs and stuff like that. And it genuinely is the most traumatic thing. Like, it shows some guys just bored in an abattoir just decide to beat a pig to death with a wrench. And it's that sort of stuff that's like, that's the stuff that really gets me.
But what? So what is the thing that you couldn't realise, that you didn't realise was vegan? Is it gelatin that is cow's bone?
Yeah.
And that's in everything. That is quite literally.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
It's like even like white sugar.
Yeah, but why?
But white sugar, apparently, there's a lot of powdered animal bones in.
With the gelatin, really. I don't understand. So it kind of gets to me like it's a bit like Steptoe & Son are waiting outside slaughterhouses going, are you using those bones?
Well, that's, yeah.
And then they just go, well, we'll just use that. Because, like, as you say, for white sugar and it's in Polo mints, you just go, you don't, I don't understand. Like, obviously, do you understand what use they are? Is it holding the Polo mint together?
Well, I think that's what it is. I think it's that, a gelatin, I think, is used as a binding agent for loads of stuff. And, like, but I didn't, this is all news information to me. Yesterday, somebody tweeted me a link to a short documentary about what they do with calves of dairy cows. Do you know, because dairy cows, they keep them pregnant. So they've taken the calves, and the calves will either go for veal, some of them might be raised for dairy, some of them might grow to be used for meat. But there's also loads of them that they just kill like a few days after they're born and use them for, what's it called? Is it rennet or something? There's another thing they put in, like baby food and stuff like that.
Rennet is a kind of cheesy thing, yeah.
Is that what it is? Well, it might be rennet. I might be wrong, but there's a thing that they just grind up baby cows. And I was watching this like... Oh God! There's nothing like everything. That's another thing that's in loads of stuff.
So when you get depressed, you just hang outside with the monkeys and all swap nuts.
Yeah,
in your assorted bags.
Sometimes I feel I wish I didn't.
And do you miss it at all?
No. This is the thing. I think if I hadn't watched any of this stuff, I would miss it.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely didn't do it for any of them reasons.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be one of these people that like shouldn't eat. You know. You
well,
shouldn't.
See. That's why, like, I wouldn't have a problem with you eating meat again, because as I say, you're just doing it for health reasons. Like, the thing I prefer people who've always eaten meat than people who go, oh, yeah, it's a little phase I went through. I was vegetarian in my youth, and then I started eating meat. And I just go, well, why did you bother doing that in the first place? Yeah. It just really kind of upsets me, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I genuinely think I'm done with it now. I'm done with all that.
So, Ash, have we turned you round is a big question.
Yeah, I feel somewhere between guilty and nauseous. Right. Now. I'm worried that I actually had a burger for lunch today, and I'm now, as you were talking, I was picturing it in all its life forms. No, I don't feel very well.
Are you just eating burgers so the American immigration will let you in?
Yeah.
Listen, is that what you're doing it for?
I just, really, really wanted one, and I was in Borough Market, and they're really nice ones.
So what, you had it from a stall?
No, it's not. It's not. Have you not been to Borough Market?
Borough Market is quite trendy and upmarket.
Yeah, but still, it's a market. Yeah, there's no pigs there.
No, it's look, it costs £7.
Yeah, but what,
it's a good one.
Was it in a cafe?
No, it was outside with.
So it's a stall then.
It is a stall.
It is
a market stall. Yeah.
So £7. See, this is the thing. I don't mind spending money, but I need them to justify.
Onions.
Yeah, all right. There was red onion in them.
But it's like being a zombie or something. Yeah, eating a bit of flesh.
All just that stuff about how much of it sits in your bowel.
I've heard. Yeah, because I've got a friend who went for a colonic irrigation, and he said, like, just meat comes out of you,
and then they just give it to Borough Market. You know? That's £6.50, mate. I don't mind. Obviously, principle's a principle. So, but the personal things, I'm not one to be with the placard. But I could not sit at a table with, say, more than one person eating steak. Because
really?
There's something about steak where people go, oh, I deserve a steak. And there's always that, oh, I'm looking forward to my steak. Oh, I can't wait to eat a cow. And that sickens me a little bit. So I can't sit with them. Right. But you're okay with that?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally fine with other people eating it around me. Like, yeah, and I think it's because I just did it for my own reasons. And even though the more I'm learning about it, the more it's validating my doing it. But I don't, I let other people do what they want, innit?
But so you're proper, from all the things you're saying today, like, you rely on the internet for all your kind of info. That's the way it is now, isn't it? You just go,
Yeah.
But has that always been like that? What age are you now?
31. No, I didn't get the internet. My parents still don't have the internet. My parents don't get it. They're just paranoid. So when I was at home, we didn't have the internet. So I probably got it first when I was about 20. I probably only had it since I was about 23, 24.
But you studied computers in school, though?
No. We got the internet at our school when I went to sixth form, so I'd have been 16. And by then, I'd moved away from doing any IT or anything, because A-levels, you just choose something different.
What did you choose?
Art, English, and ancient history.
Yeah,
I didn't show up to my ancient history A level because I woke up a bit late and thought I'd probably be late anyway. So I went to a coffee shop and had a pot of tea and waited for my friends to finish the exam.
So, and what, were you rubbish at the subject as well then?
No, I probably would have done all right.
Get over it. What? So you just woke up late?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the internet?
If I had it, I'd have been woken up late because I'd have been up all night touching myself.
And so when you left school then, what were you hoping to do?
I had no idea. That's why I never really cared about it. I did A-levels just because it put off having to do something real. And then I went to uni. I got through clearing and then did that because I didn't know what I wanted to do and didn't want to get a job. But then quit that after 3 months.
What were you studying for the 3 months ancient history?
Film production. I had no idea. It was just I liked film. I had no direction until I found stand-up.
Carl is one of the few things, when you're just having a chat and someone tells you something that makes you see something from someone else's point of view. And Carl did that with me because Carl loves action movies.
Right.
And I used to just go, how can you do that? And I loved your reasoning behind that.
What was it?
Well, you explained it to me. You just said, I'm drunk a lot of the time. You said, look, because I say, I like all the, art films. Not for the sake of it. I'm not every art film either, but that's the difference between people who like art films and action films. You like every action film.
I don't like every action film. I think, actually, action films have changed massively in the last 15 years, and only now are we getting back to proper action films.
Well, what went wrong with them?
Well, they tried to get too good. Action films started trying to have a point, and the best thing about an action film is not having a point. Yeah. 80s action films are perfect in that all they are is about action. It's about a muscly guy just killing loads of people and saving someone, and at the end feeling all right about himself. Whereas
you are, you're just sounding quite gay to everybody listening.
I think I might be a bit, but action films then in the sort of, 2000s, suddenly everyone, they had to have a soft side and it started getting a bit silly. And then Jason Statham came along and he changed everything back for the better. And Crank was the one that did it. Crank was the beginning of the new wave of action films.
Well, I find this fascinating. So I want to talk about that. I just saw on the telly yesterday. I'm glad you mentioned Jason, because there's nobody coming up, because I saw an ad for the new action film and it's a prison thing, and it's Schwarzenegger and Stallone. And
that looks terrible.
They're about 80, and they're still the action guys.
And they're just both look really fat and old as well.
That's really...
Yeah, they all fallen out. Didn't you fight Bruce Willis or something? Wasn't there some beef between...
That was the...
Between Stallone and Bruce Willis.
It was over the... in the olden days or now?
No, now.
I mean, it was because of The Expendables 3. The Expendables was actually, again, that was a good modern action film. Because it brought in Sly Stallone, you had Mickey Rourke, you had Jason Statham, some other newer actors, put them all together. But Expendables 2 was atrocious. And Expendables 3, apparently Bruce Willis asked for like $1 million a day to shoot it. And Sly Stallone was like, what are you talking about? This is insane. It's not even going to make that. It wouldn't make $1 million over a weekend.
I take it he was the producer then, rather than just jealous.
He's making it. And apparently he had a massive argument. And apparently Bruce Willis is really eccentric.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
The comedian Eric Lampere, you know him? He did an advert with Bruce Willis.
Not the driving instructor, Eric Lampere, the comedian. You know, just in case people worry.
Well, other people might
I don't want to Googling the wrong person. I'm not taking a driving lesson for this chomp.
He did. He did an advert with Bruce Willis for Sky.
Oh, right, yeah.
And apparently they'd sort of meant to do rehearsals and everything. And Bruce Willis didn't show up until he was late on the day of their actual shooting, had not even read the script, and then just came in and started saying, let's just improvise it all, guys. Like, he was doing it, he wanted to do it as if it was like some art house film. And they were just making a Sky advert. And apparently it's just really funny, just really like, weird.
I think the girl's really good in that.
What? What's it saying? Go at Sky.
And you get to have sex with one of their call centre workers.
If you got a complaint, if we don't fix it really straight away, we'll bring someone
around. Call centre workers.
But back to the point where you've forgotten what you said, because when I said, how can you like all that nonsense? She says, because I was brought up in a grubby little council house where people shout and blah, blah, blah. You know, when I want escapism. I don't want to see two people rowing in a film.
Yeah, that's why I got really into action films. And now I can sort of handle a, you know, I like some art house films and, you know, really emotional, you know, talk like.
So what art house films have you liked lately then?
Well, I like some Lars von Trier films. I think, you know, I'd really like Dancer in the Dark. I thought that was and that's probably the most depressing film of all time.
Just the weirdo he is.
But you gave me a DVD of Together, which I really enjoyed.
Film,
very good.
That's not really art house, it's just a small film.
It's a small independent.
Four Weddings.
That's pretty good. Yeah. But not as good as Notting Hill.
No. I've never seen...
Surely you must have seen it in just, you know, at your parents' house.
No, I would have actively turned it off if it came on.
Well, sometimes you haven't got any choice in that. So, all right, just say, right? Let's put a scenario in your head here, Carl, right? Say you go to prison for your vegan principles, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in a prison with a dude and he's bigger than you and he's the daddy, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you've got your little portable television and before lights out, Notting Hill comes on. And he goes, I'm watching that. What do you do?
Not what? I'd turn around, read a book.
Yeah, but it'll still be on, though. So,
I know, but when you read, you zone out. But you can't...
Not in a small cell with a guy laughing his head off at the subtleties
holding
of
you
film.
Against the television while he has his way.
Because there'll be that thing. No, because also, like, seriously, he would start getting upset.
You'd be Julia Roberts.
he would start getting upset if you weren't enjoying. Because, you know. If you're
I'd watch it if I was forced.
Well, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying the situation could come up that you will watch
it. But as yet, my parents didn't do that to me. My parents didn't lock me in a room and force me to watch Notting Hill.
But so why won't you watch it?
Well, it's not that I won't watch it. It's just not my sort of film. British romantic comedies, I'd say, that's my least favourite genre. Yeah.
Right. That's Ash, doesn't it?
No, but it's just, I don't know. Romantic comedies in general aren't my...
Well, it's a terrible...
But British ones with Hugh Grant, especially, I can't buy Hugh Grant.
Well, you can on that Silk Road, can't you?
I forgot you said about it. You wanted to discuss this briefly. Have you heard of the Silk Road?
No, I haven't.
Right, I'll let you go on.
Right, it's something I got told about 2 months ago, and it blew my mind. And it's now in the news this week. Basically, there's a thing called the dark internet. I don't know if you know about this, the dark web. And basically, you can download a thing called a Tor browser, and if you use that to go on the internet, you are totally untraceable when you surf the web, because it does a thing where it basically makes it look like you might be in Bolivia or something like that, so they can't trace your
good,
actual
good choice of location.
So there was
Should
that
we be advertising this.
Yeah, I know it's totally legal. Tor browsers are totally legal, and they were using like the Arab Spring and things like that, so people couldn't be traced while organizing like demonstrations and that. So that's all good. But there was a thing called the Silk Road on it, which was basically like Amazon, but you could buy weapons, drugs, you could buy just loads of illegal... Yeah, at one point you could buy assassination, like you could hire a hitman on it. And it went on. It's been going on for maybe a year or two.
A bit longer than that. That's when you heard about it.
But no, yeah, but it's been going on for a while. But about a year ago, they did stop allowing arms and killings to be solved,
which is kind of good.
And the way you can buy, because the way you can buy stuff is using bitcoins, which is an online currency. And basically, because you're untraceable, you get it sent to your address just under a fake name, and no one could trace the fact that you ever ordered or paid for it. So it could just come to you by accident if it was ever intercepted, and no one can trace it back to the sender.
I've got a lot of stuff coming, terrorist stuff for Ash Ditter at my address.
But that's so.
What I don't need is Sean to know about this.
But now, it's now
to loose women. Yeah, every week.
But the guy who set it up was arrested 2 days ago. Right. And this is all kicked off now. He's and they're saying give it a few days, there'll be another one. It always happens.
I love pranks. So my favourite prank that I did to Ash last year, we'll finish the show on this, is I was just reading one of the nonsense papers and it had that. Do you want to be in the audience for Loose Women? And I went, yeah, Ash might like that. So I just went on and gave him all his details. I didn't say a word to him. So what happens?
I get a letter, first of all, saying congratulations, you've been accepted to the audience for Loose Women. And weirdly, I didn't think, oh, this is a Sean prank. I just thought, well, that's weird. And then I obviously knew anything about it. Then I get a phone call saying, you know, your date is coming up at 16th of June, whatever it is, and we're very excited because we've got, you know, Heath Ledger. Well, he wouldn't be there, would he, in the studio? And it'll be really exciting. And I was like, sorry, what are you talking about? And he said, well, if you need to take you need to take the place because there's a large waiting list for these women. And I said, well, I don't want to come. And anyway, I hung up. And then about 2 weeks later, I got a phone from someone else saying, you know, it's fantastic. We've got, you know, McFly in, you'll love him. And then you go, and I said, look, I don't want to come on Loose. I don't want to do it. I don't really. I had to get quite aggressive.
Oh, but didn't they tell you how to dress as well?
Yeah, you have to have a certain dress code. You have to. Oh, it's unbelievable.
So that's
it ended up being quite a good day out.
Yeah, absolutely. Who is on? Carl.
This shows how different the sort of. You know, you're obviously a bit older than me. Just the different levels.
Hey, come on, there's no need to bring
the levels of pranks.
Right.
My favourite thing to do that I do regularly to my friends is I download a really horrible image from the internet and I email it to a friend with a subject going, mate, I've just check this photo out. And then I put, you know, I've just been going through my phone. I found this photo from a night out we had like 2 weeks ago. And when I open it, it's like a picture of an African man with a massive erection. And I regularly do it to like friends and I always catch them off. I always leave it long enough that they think I won't do it again. And I'll especially do it like 2 days after a night we've been together. And I'll say, I don't even remember taking this photo. And then it'll cut to just, you know, just three men having sex.
I remember sending one to a friend at his office where it was just one tramp giving another one a blowjob. That was really funny. But,
you said that to me as well.
Yeah, but... You got it, but he went, did you send me an email? Could have got intercepted by head office. But listen, Carl, thank you so much for coming in. So, like, for people who want to see you live, is your webpage the best thing?
Yeah, carldonnelly.co.uk. Or I'm on Twitter as well.
Yeah, so you're pretty much touring now for the foreseeable.
Touring for the rest of the year, and then some in February and March next year.
Oh, well, listen, we'll have you in again, but thanks so much. Really appreciate
Cheers.
It. And keep up the good fight.
Me is murder, guys.
No, I was thinking more get crank too, mate.
Keep up sending photos of erections.
You've been listening to me, Sean Hughes. We're Off the Radar. Thanks for listening.
Sean Hughes.
Off the Radar.
A Big Things Media production.